Well, hey there. This is Jim, and I was just thinking. We are at the top of the hill. Time for a little 3 mile shakeout run. Let's get going. So, because this is a shakeout run, this will be particularly slow. I'm going to check my heart rate at different points during the run just to make sure that I'm not overdoing it, but I think as long as I'm chatting, that shouldn't be too bad. So I'm recording this for two main reasons. One, because you're going to act as my governor to make sure that I don't run too quickly today. Did a 10-mile run with my buddy Anthony yesterday, which turns out to be give or take 16Ks. I think it's like 16.16 kilometers, which is good because I'm training to do a 15K. The other reason is to introduce the next succession of episodes you're going to hear. So not surprisingly, Anthony and I recorded yesterday. And for 10 miles, 16.16K, that was a 2-hour run. So I have 2 hours of source audio, which I could upload as one behemoth show, but I decided I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to look for natural breaks in the recording and put it out as 2, 3, or 4 episodes. Well, I opted on 3. There was a couple of nice natural breaks, lulls, as Anthony and I would call them. It's a good place to go, okay, we're going to snip out a little bit here and call that a section. So 3 sections. They won't be equal in length, but from looking at it, I think we're probably looking at 40 minutes, 20 minutes, and 40 minutes again. All very doable sections. Of course, if you're the kind of person that would like a 2-hour podcast to run with, then just wait for them all to download. Listen to them all in one sitting. And you'll definitely have your 2 hours right there. But if you're attention span for podcast topics is a bit shorter, well, I'm only looking at about a 40-minute show at most you'll have to listen to. So do what you do. I'll be thinking of doing. How are we doing on heart rate? .114. That is good. That's where I want to be. Putzing along. So, chat about these episodes one last time. Then get on to this episode. So, one of the nice features with Spotify, frequently Anchor FM, is that I can go ahead and upload a bunch of shows and give them different dates and times for when they'll become live. Basically just sit in a queue until that date and time, and that's when they drop. So I'm going to post-produce them after this show and give them dates and times. I haven't decided if I want to give them consecutive days or if I want to give you 2 days in between. I am leaning on 2 days in between, which would mean the first segment will drop tomorrow, which is Monday. Second one will drop on Wednesday. Third one will drop on Friday. Seems like a good option, as opposed to dropping them all one day after the other. Kind of makes it a little bit more suspenseful. What happens next? What do JD and Anthony do? Come back in 2 days to find out. So, that's my strong sense of where I'm going, but I'll find out when you do. So, anyway, yesterday's run, so, did a 10-miler by Anthony's watch, 16.16K by my watch. That was all in prep for the Savannah Bridge Run, which is now coming up in 3 weeks. In fact, 3 weeks from today, it'll be over, because it's a Saturday run. So, this is going to be one of those races that is a catered training run rather than a race. So, normally for a race, you taper right before. Well, I'm not doing that. I did 16K yesterday. I plan to do 16K again on Saturday. And then the following Saturday, I am, air quotes, racing 15K. So it'll be a shorter run when I actually race. So I was hoping to get up to a half marathon in training, or maybe an even 14 miles, whatever that is in kilometers. But it is what it is. My real big plan, what are we doing here? Yeah, back it off. Not bad, 131, but faster heart rate than I want for today. So, was going up a hill, but still. Anyway, so, for this race, I have two main goals. One is to get there, because it's a travel race. I've not been good in the last 3 years of making it to travel races. So goal one is to safely make it there. Goal two is to complete the race, and it's kind of a combo goal, safely make it back. Really don't care what I do on race day. I have a loose goal of 90 minutes. So 3 30-minute 5Ks. And if I can do that, or even slightly faster, that'd be amazing, but if I do 135, If I do 140, I don't so much care. I'm gonna run into some dogs and some people. So we're gonna hush up for a bit. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, pup. How we doing? How we doing? I know. Good day for a walk, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, it is.
I know.
We've had great running weather this October and November.
Oh my gosh, can't complain.
Well, we can complain, but dang nabbit, we shouldn't.
Yeah, but what for? I mean, it doesn't get any better, so.
Oh, no, this is awesome.
All right, have a good day. All right. So that was Mrs. Breakfast Meat. So I mentioned, oh, probably many shows ago, that Breakfast Meat Boulevard is named after the farmer who paid for and had Breakfast Meat Boulevard created and paved. And of course, since he went to all the work and the financial responsibilities were said, he got to name it after himself. So, well, Mr. Breakfast Meat had three sons. One of those sons actually just passed his house. So, that's his wife. So that is Mrs. Breakfast Meat. It's a lady that cans raspberries and other fruit concoctions into a jam for us in the spring. When her husband, son of Breakfast Meat, shows up and asks if he can get a couple loads of manure for his garden, which we're happy to give up. But he, being a good doobie, feels he needs to pay us in some way, shape, or form. So he usually comes by with a mason jar or two of some canned preserves, which we are happy to accept. Eat, wash out the mason jar, and then return the mason jars back in hopes that next spring he will repeat the ask, and we'll get some more free canned preserves. So there you go. There's a couple of titles right there, right? Wife of Breakfast Meat, son of Breakfast Meat. There's some fun titles right there. But anywho, how are we doing on heart rate? 110. So, as you know, or may not know if you're brand new, I'm doing heart rate training. And that's on purpose, because in my later 50s, I want to make sure I'm not overtraining. And the easiest way to do that, take a look at your heart rate, because your heart's going to tell you where you are physically. So the fact that I am running along and chatting at a 117 heart rate means, physically speaking, I'm in good shape, considering I did 16K yesterday. So and basically a zone three. So I believe I averaged a 128 heart rate. And at one point I got well into zone five. I hit 157 for a heart rate, which is well into zone five for me. And I know where it was. It's either going up a hill or going up an overpass. There's a very steep one over the rail trail where Anthony and I ran. And I think Anthony was a bit ahead of me, so I quickly picked up the pace uphill. And I think that's where I spiked at 157. So. Normally, though, and what I'll do next week, actually Saturday, the end of this week, is I will make sure my heart rate is more visible and make sure if I'm getting into the 130s, I back it off. Just went up a slight hill. We're at 123 for heart rate. As I do in my previous 3 mile short runs, when I get to basically the halfway mark, I'll take a couple seconds for a walk break, let my heart rate settle back down even more, and then it's back to the starting line and a predominantly downhill second half. So, anyway, the fact that I can do a jog and be at like 110, 116, that's all zone 2 for me. And the last time I tried a zone 2 run, it turned out to be a zone 2 walk. Because anytime I tried to do any kind of a shuffle, boom, heart rate into the 120s. So, see the reason why I like this? So obviously something was going on that day. Now I could have run. It would have been a zone 3 run. It would have been slow, time-wise. But heart rate would have very easily been in zone 3. Maybe hitting a little bit of zone 4. And I would have overtrained, even though I didn't run particularly fast. So the fact that a motivated walk on that day already had me in zone 2 was enough of a heads up for my cardiovascular system that today ain't your day. Let's just do a motivated walk and call it a day. So, I'm very happy with this. So, got a little bit of an uphill here. So we'll back off the pace a little bit. And again, can't see what my pace is. This is all by feel. So, because that's the other thing I'm trying to do here. So I'm trying to get what a heart rate feels like in my head, rather than looking at a watch and saying, okay, this is 9 miles, right? This is a 9 minute pace. This is a 7 minute pace. Nope. I'm able to go, this is what 123 feels like, and I can do this for a while. All right, got the turnaround. Yep. Yep, by the time I got to the top of the hill, I was back up to 130, so I'll have to back that up even more. So yeah, that's one of the things I'm noticing with heart rate training, particularly here since there is no flat here, is that I have to be careful to adjust what you do based on your ascent or descent of whatever hill you've got in front of you. I've got my the end of my walk break right here. It's a little dark patch of road. It makes a nice little line across. It's easy to recognize every time I go for a run. It's the other nice thing about being on not a professionally paved road. There's all kinds of imperfections in the road, and those imperfections you can use as a marker for when you come out and run. This were a professionally paved road, it would all be the same color, and thus I'd have to be dropping rocks or bringing a piece of chalk with me and marking out parts of the road so I can find them on my run. But the lack of a professional job has done that for me. So, huzzah. All right. We're on the way back. We're at a heart rate right now of 104. So, there it is. We are climbing up a hill. So we'll back it off a little, just to make sure that the heart rate doesn't spike too much. If possible, I'd like this to be predominantly in zone 2. But it is what it is. So, anyway, as I mentioned, trip to Savannah is coming up. Normal temperature for Savannah at the beginning of December is in the 60s. So, 40s overnight, 60s during the day. Of course, it could be 70. It could be 50, but hopefully, fingers crossed, it will not rain. So we'll prepare ourselves in case rain is coming. I'm hoping to pack kind of light for this trip. I'll have my clothes that I'm gonna wear down to Savannah and then back home. So basically just travel clothes. Unless I spill something, the same pair of pants should be fine down and back. And that only leaves me with 2 days. And again, I don't spill anything on me. Should be able to get another 2 days out of a second pair of pants, so I will pack 3 pairs just in case, but I'm hoping to get by with just 2 pairs of pants. Because for the morning on Saturday, I'll be in shorts. I won't need pants. I'll only need it for the second half of Saturday and Sunday, so. And then, of course, I'll need probably 3-4 shirts. New underwear for every day, obviously. And then socks. And as long as we're not going to get particularly cold, I have a number of fall or spring jackets I can wear. That should be warm enough for up here. As I'm going from my car to the airport, but not so warm that I'm dying when I'm down in Savannah if it does happen to be in the 60s. Of course, if it makes it to the 70s, well, we're just going to leave the jacket at home. At least in the hotel room. I won't need a jacket. It's going to be in the 70s, but... So... I have my leather jacket. I can actually pack a fair amount of things in my leather jacket, so it kind of counts as a carry-on bag that I wear. As my hope is just to do the leather jacket and my Under Armour backpack, which will nicely stow underneath my seat on the plane. So, if I haven't mentioned it already, I have a 6 a.m. flight from Baltimore, which means on the plane, wheels up at 6, which means on the plane, probably 5:30 in the morning, which, as Baltimore is about an hour and 25 minute drive from my house, at least the airport anyway, and then you gotta get through security and all that. Probably leaving my house at 3 in the morning, so that'll be a 2 o'clock wake up for that trip. So part of my plan, once I can get into my room at the hotel, is probably a nap, to be quite honest with you, on Friday. So, but yeah, it's a, technically it's a 6 to 8 o'clock travel from Baltimore to Atlanta. We get to Atlanta around 8. 2 hours later, it's about 10:30. I hop on a plane going to Savannah. Get to Savannah about 11:30. And be in Savannah probably sometime around noon. Nice thing is that everything is close by, so the plan is first to go to the expo and get my stuff for the race, put that in a compartment in my backpack so I'll have everything I need, and then from there it's a couple blocks from where the expo packet pickup's gonna be to my hotel, and then I have some options. I can either go to the hotel and drop off my backpack and be unencumbered until 3-4 o'clock, when I can actually check into the room. Or I can take the backpack with me, since it won't be very heavy, and I only have a couple of hours that I need to traverse around beautiful downtown Savannah. So we'll see. We'll see. I definitely want to take one of the trolley tours. Savannah's known for having a number of these hop-on, hop-off trolley tours. So I always find they're a nice way to see an area before you then go and see an area. So right now, my plan is to do the trolley tour on Saturday. If I don't do it on Friday, and basically just use it as a catered bus ride, right, around the city. Here's this place. If you'd like to get off and check it out, you can. If not, stay right on the trolley and we'll keep going. And I would just have them shoot me around Savannah, which usually I think these trolley tours, usually they're somewhere between an hour and 2 hours for the entire loop. And then I've got a good lay of the land, and what I want to explore in more detail on another day. And then probably do that, or Savannah also has walking tours. And so maybe do, instead of the trolley tour, one day do a walking tour. Which would actually be a good thing to do on the Saturday, or the Sunday if it's nice, after racing. A nice leg stretch. So, but I will run on Sunday because not far from my hotel is the famous Forsyth Park. And it's a great place to go run. I will not be the only person out there on a Sunday running. So, and I think it's like 3 blocks from the hotel. It's not a long walk. Get out there and just go do a little leg stretch. 5K. And then head back to the hotel for a shower. So, of course, Monday morning is a travel day again. It's an early travel day, so I'll be up early. Grab an Uber to the airport. There used to be a bus from the bus depot, which is about 6-7 blocks from my hotel, so walkable. And for $2, we'll take you to the airport, which is better than $30 for an Uber. But last I saw, the airport shuttle was not in operation right now. So I have plans to give them a jingle this week in case their website hasn't been updated in a while. Because I can't imagine why you would suspend something like that. It seems like a really good option. So we'll see. We'll see. There's also a bus that has a stop that's a mile from the airport. So that'd be a 20-minute walk. So we'll see. Might just hoof it to the stop and pick up a local bus taking me into town. But since it's early in the morning for my flight, probably not. I get there in time to make it through security and be comfortably waiting at my plane. So, I have a little extra treat for this flight in that I get to travel first class from Baltimore to Atlanta. And I booked my ticket. One of the options was, of course, an upgrade. And since the flight is buku early in the morning, not a lot of people opting for the flight when I was booking it. So there were plenty of first class seats. So when that happens, so they'll cut you a nice deal on a first class seat. And I had travel points to cash in, so it didn't actually cost me any extra money. It just cost me in Delta miles. So I got first class for the hour and 35 minute flight to Atlanta. Got a regular seat to Savannah, but that flight's probably all of 35 minutes. It's only 3 hours by car, so. And it is a large jet. So there must be a lot of people that travel there, because the Savannah Airport is actually Savannah Hilton Head. So lots of golfers getting on the plane to head out to a beach and have a nice golf weekend. Oh, there it is. Well, we're almost to the end of our run here. 1, 2, 3 again. So, I'm gonna hopscotch around between some zone 2, probably mostly zone 3, a little bit of zone 4 maybe. I think the mid-130s puts me in zone 4. But, nah, did what I wanted to do. So, anyway, hope this was enjoyable. Like I said, when I'm done, I'm going to upload this. Put the theme music in front. Send this on its way to you, so you can download and listen to it. And then also know that there are 3 more episodes coming. The first of which will arrive on Monday. I've almost got my Charles Dickens 3 Ghosts things going on, which is meaningful when I think about the fact that I'm going to Savannah, a city that's reputed to be one of the most haunted cities in the U.S. So, lots and lots of ghost tours in Savannah. So, last push to the telephone pole, and it's a run. All right, very nice. All right, 5.14, great. We'll call that light. And we'll call this a podcast. Thanks for the download. Do appreciate it. If you wouldn't mind, please go ahead and rate this podcast. If you haven't done so already, whatever platform you're listening to it on, you have the option to give it a like. Give it a like. Anything you can do to put this show in front of other people, I would appreciate. As I've said, a few episodes at least ago, I'm not looking for a particular number of people. Just more. You know? More than what previously listens. If that's 1 more, it's great. If it's 10 more, even better. But I'd like to know that there are a number of people that are out there enjoying this little banter. So, with that, well, thank you in advance for everything. Thanks for being my virtual company. And until we speak again, as we say in ham radio world, 73.